Hello and a warm welcome to St. Stephen Walmrook for our Start Stop Reflection. We're here every Tuesday morning between 7:45 and 9:15. We start with a brief Bible passage followed by a reflection inspired by an event or anniversary this week, and then a short period of silence before some prayers. Do stay as long as or as short as your schedule allows. On the evening of the 24th of May, 1738, John Wesley, as he recorded in his diary, went very unwillingly to a church meeting in Aldersgate Street, just up the road, where someone was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About quarter before nine, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he had taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law of sin and death. I'll read from the first chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, verses 17 and 18 on page 162. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith. As it is written, the one who is righteous will live by faith. From the point of his conversion on the road to Damascus, Paul had realized fully that it is exclusively through the work of God in Jesus Christ that we are forgiven, turned around, and declared righteous. Our relationship with God is made right. It is through God's unconditional grace alone and never our efforts. But so often, the overriding transactional quid pro quo, there's no such thing as a free lunch nature of our world, can cause us to doubt this gift through grace and misunderstand Paul's meaning of one who is righteous will live by faith. In a spiral of despair, Martin Luther came to hate the phrase, the righteousness of God, because he thought it meant the righteousness by which God is righteous and punishes unrighteous sinners who did not please him by their works. Luther's view, however, was transformed in his tower experience when, as he reflected on this passage, the truth dawned on him that God's righteousness means the forgiveness and the restored relationship freely given by God through what Christ has done. Faith or trust in this gift leads to real life. Luther felt that he was altogether born again and had entered paradise itself through open gates. That place in Paul was for me truly the gate to paradise. On that evening at Aldersgate, the reluctant attendee Wesley, when listening to Luther's introduction to Romans, had a similar sensation of the lights going on. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he'd taken away my sins. Reflecting on the Aldersgate experience, Wesley stated that before Aldersgate, he'd the faith of a servant, one who serves God out of reverential fear, but not the faith of a son, one who serves God out of gratitude and love. The Aldersgate experience inspired Wesley to preach widely and to travel extensively across Britain, riding on horseback 4,000 to 5,000 miles in a typical year. He was clearly a magnetic preacher whose teaching had as its foundation the utter dependence of humanity upon God's grace within our relationship with God. He also vigorously encouraged the setting up of Christian groups for discussion, encouragement, and discipleship. Wesley remained a priest in the Church of England throughout his career. However, he was banned from many churches due to his emphatic teaching on grace. And many in the church were unenthusiastic about his teaching outdoors and his encouragement of unordained women and men preachers. This much needed revival in Christian activity when the church was somewhat in the doldrums and the movement that Wesley created with the support of his brother Charles became the foundation of the Methodist Church. Many of its members became involved in various aspects of social engagement, including the abolition of slavery, prison reform, and improvement in working conditions. So as we head off to our work in this city of transactions, let us reflect on the power of the gospel truth that God offers and freely gives. And perhaps rather than hoping to be strangely warmed, may we, as some have put it, be warmly estranged, feel a sense of confident, renewed liberation to dare to see anew God's life and work in the world and see how we can be fully part of it. We have a few moments of silence before our prayers. Our prayer this morning is, Heavenly Father, who freely gives, hear our prayer and deepen our trust in you. Heavenly Father, who freely gives, hear our prayer and deepen our trust in you. Heavenly Father, open our hearts fully to receive your gift of relationship, salvation, and life. Restored and liberated by your Son, give us the courage to rely on you and be involved in your world as you would wish us to be. Heavenly Father, who freely gives, hear our prayer and deepen our trust in you. May your world know that you love, offer, and give to all without distinction. Dispel discrimination, persecution, and all expressions of divisiveness and hatred. Bring peace and relief for all who suffer. Bring peace for the people of Ukraine. Open the eyes of all who pursue aggression to the avoidable horror of war. Heavenly Father, who freely gives, hear our prayer and deepen our trust in you. Father, may we be agents of your light to all whom we encounter. We lift to you all in our families, our communities, our places of work who are in a particular need at this time. May they know your hope and peace. Heavenly Father, who freely gives, hear our prayer and deepen our trust in you. Blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Well, thanks indeed for joining us this morning. Do have a blessed day and hope to see you again soon. Please feel free to leave now if you'd like, but also more than welcome to stay longer. Our next reflection will start in 3 minutes.